Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Bonnie North. The Woolridge brothers, Scott and Brian, have been a band for quite a few years now. They're mostly based in Milwaukee. Scott moved to Minneapolis a few years ago, and the band showcased at South by Southwest in the late 90s. Since then, they've had songs placed in films such as Contact and Some Mother's Son, and on TV shows like Party of Five.
And the band has kept going, touring and putting out albums pretty regularly. Even as Scott has pursued a solo career in Minneapolis and Brian has gone out on tour in support of other acts. Next week, they'll introduce their newest album, Starts at Dusk, at a launch party at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point. But I'm not a man on a mission anymore. I'm just a man in between.
We invited the brothers and Anodyne owner Matt McClutchie into the studio to talk about the new album. Brian, who joined us by phone from Minneapolis, explained how Starts at Dusk came to be.
We started working on this album quite a while ago. We actually did some of the early recording in Minneapolis, where I live. Brian's based in Milwaukee, and various other band members are sort of around that area. So we were recording in Minneapolis. We did some up there, and then we did a Kickstarter project, which incorporated both a solo album that I was finishing up and the early phases of this album. And then over quite a few months, we continued to record and sort of refine and finesse the sound. This album definitely took us a while to do, but I think that worked to our advantage as far as really being able to get the sound we wanted and make the quality consistently high.
One of the things I love about the sound of this is I hear Beach Boys influence. I hear Eagles. It's very lush, you know, the arrangements. Yet it just really rocks, too. Where do you guys feel it fits into sort of your whole catalog?
Well, Scott and I are originally from Indiana, and we grew up through that time of Tom Petty and the Eagles and stuff. So I don't think we can help but have that in our musical output.
I got to say, the Eagles comparison, we've heard it a couple times, and it does kill me a little bit.
In a good way or a bad way?
not in such a good way. I'm sorry.
But whatever you say about the Eagles, they really knew how to arrange.
They did. Yeah. They were amazing vocalists.
Yes, they were.
Yeah. And, but we did listen to them. And you know, I heard their songs growing up. I had their albums. So, yeah, we were definitely influenced by classic rock, no doubt about it.
Well, this might date me a little bit, but I think when I got my first 8-track, when I was 7th grade or whatever, you know? The tape that came along with it was the Greatest Hits by the Eagles.
So, there you go.
So.
But what I love about it is that I hear those echoes in there, but you've made it yours.
Yeah. Well, like I said, coming from Indiana, I think all that stuff is in our musical spirit, or whatever you want to call it, and it comes out in that way. And we weren't trying to make a theme album, but as we did the video out at Highway 18 Outdoor Theater for Drive Through Summer, we shot a video. It was at an old drive-in theater, and it was just the vibe of that scene and hanging out there, I think, kind of shaped the vibe of the album, and that's why we came up with Starts at Dusk, and we thought the songs fit in that, and we were kind of going for, you know, a retro sound, but that's just maybe just the way our influences play out.
That was a summer she worked a drive through at McDonald's, and I put on 15 pounds. She
Yeah, she must have earned commission. She told me she'd get bored if I stopped coming around. Well, that polyester uniform, she made it look exotic. When she said the word supersize, it was almost erotic. Well, I should have been smarter, but I couldn't have been dumber in that long drive through summer.
And, you know, from the writer's perspective, Brian and I collaborated quite a bit on this album, and he wrote one of the songs, and so it wasn't just me, but we're really influenced by a lot of stuff, and not just classic rock. I mean, I know that my influences include Robin Hitchcock and Elvis Costello and Squeeze and
exactly, yeah,
stuff like that. So I mean, it's still very kind of dated, I guess, but that generation of music had a huge impact on us. I mean, some of the damage to me is very Big Star-ish, which I guess they're classic rock.
Well, they are now.
Era, yeah, they're from that era, but they were really looked up to by a lot of the sort of new wave and alternative bands that were big when we were really, really discovering our favorite types of music.
Have to live with knowing I did some of the damage. Tell myself it was just some of the damage. I wish I could walk again to your door, to your door, and make everything all right, but that chance won't come no more. All we see, healed, we carry some of the damage. All right.
In the writing process now, and as the band has evolved, and as your musical careers have evolved, do you find yourself moving away from that, or just trying to incorporate all that stuff, or not even really thinking about it at all?
Well, just like one song Scott and I were working on together, Blade Number 1 and 2, and has something to do with the movies from whatever the 90s. We, you know, I had an idea of doing kind of a Kinks sounding song, and so Scott and I were talking about that, and then the chorus is more of an Elvis Costello Pump It Up type thing. And so that's just how it comes out, right? And, you know, we don't sit there and go, oh, let's write the, you know, Velvet Underground song, or let's write, you know. It just, when you're playing something, sometimes you think, oh, it kind of, you know, it pulls a memory of some other song.
Right.
But you don't try to shape it.
The writing process, you're not really thinking about it. But you do hear it once you start, you know, once you've written it and go back to, as Brian said, it's kind of filling out the sound.
Mm-hmm. Right, and nothing is in a vacuum. We're all influenced by everything we've ever heard and read and seen.
Right.
Yeah.
So a lot of people compare us to, or at least our, I mean, I think this album is kind of a departure for us. We were more Americana, maybe roots rock, some people called us before. And not that it's a drastic change, but it is, to me, a little bit more of a change. And this was due to, more of a band, cohesive band.
Right. I would say it's a little more, and I don't mean this in a bad way, a little more produced. Mm-hmm. I tend to think of Americana as just grittier. Mm-hmm. You know, that tends to be kind of like, a couple, raw.
Right.
And this has elements of that, but it's
It's more.
It's smoother. And more. Yeah, there's more layers going on.
Scott Gorsuch had a huge role in that. I mean, he really had some ideas that he, I mean, when we were on tour, was it last summer? Or,
yeah,
last summer with the Baseball Project, we were talking about, you know, how we wanted the album to progress and what we wanted it to sound like. And Scott just, we were in the van and Scott was playing me all these different acts and saying, you know, we could try this or we could try that. And we really did rely on his expertise, and he's got a huge knowledge of music. And so he was able to really add some interesting sounds and sort of consistently throughout the album sort of make those influences or those sounds work for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Scott Gorsuch and myself really clicked on shaping the album production and arrangement-wise. We are heavily influenced by the same artist. We go see the same bands. We like the same players, Justin Currier from Delamitri, you know, John Vanderslice and all those different people. So, you know, we were talking about these things as they came up. So he wrote like string arrangements. So Place in the Sun, I think you were talking about, that song is actually an older song, probably the oldest song maybe on the album.
Yes, definitely.
That my brother Scott wrote on keyboards. It was a slower song, melancholy kind of song. And I've always liked the song, and it's just kind of been sitting in the, you know, closet for a while. I pulled it out for this album and stripped away his music, and I wrote a bass part that was more upbeat, more in the Beatle-esque world. And we built it from there, and, you know, and then we just kind of rearranged it, and G added the strings,
and
now it's more of an XTC, you know, type poppy song.
And that was one of the first ones we recorded. And again, it was sort of very much a band collaboration, because we all kind of try to figure out what we could bring to the table and what would work. And, you know, Brian and I, our last album, Days Went Around, it was just basically me and him in the studio. Mm-hmm. We had Dave Braun, is that it?
Yep.
The drummer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but that was it. And we hadn't really rehearsed the songs, and we just kind of went in the studio and recorded them. We were very happy with how Days Went Around turned out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, there were some songs that were really poppy and some songs that were really more country. And then, you know, it was just kind of back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I just think the consistency of the sound of the new album is one of the things that really makes it work.
Well, Matt, I want to bring you in now, because part of what's happening with this new album is you are doing this at Anodyne. You're doing the release.
Yeah.
That's right.
We've been working with Matt for a couple of years now for shows, and I've been pushing some other bands that I know through the Midwest to his place, and we really love what he's doing there and his respective artists, and of course his coffee.
Yeah. Yes. I have to say, I am not a coffee drinker, but I'm a tea drinker, and I always get great tea at Anodyne.
Yeah, so
plug. I'll accept that. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome. To come. Yeah. So, Matt, what got you started in basically being a concert promoter in some senses, as well as a coffee person?
A little bit by accident. You know, when we opened the Walker's Point facility in 2014, the building was just set up perfect as a music venue with a stage. It just kind of lended itself perfectly to special events. We do wedding receptions, you know, fundraiser events, things like that. and music. I've been going to shows, you know, since I can remember, and followed the local music scene a little bit. So it just sort of developed slowly.
And well, it seems like it's a place now, it's on the map, from what I can tell, as a place to go hear bands.
I totally agree.
You know, you hear the rave, you hear this, you hear that, but you also hear Anodyne and Walker's Point.
Right.
And I think that's just such a cool mix of things.
I've been really lucky to get really nice support from a lot of local musicians, such as Brian, you know, who have helped out a lot. You know, I don't have any experience in it. Just sort of started, friends of friends, sure, come and play. We'll give it a shot. And it slowly developed from there.
So is this something you see expanding? Is this something you want to do more of?
I'm enjoying it a lot, yeah. It's a coffee roasting facility, so that kind of comes first. You know, we roast coffee first, second shift, at least 5 days a week. So that's kind of got to come first. That's the business side of things. But the music, you know, anytime I can plug it in there, it's been great and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, Brian and Scott, for you guys, what is it like playing in that kind of venue versus, say, a more traditional bar or even a concert hall, for that matter?
Well, I went to Matt with the idea of partnering up and only releasing the album at his stores. And because, you know, we all know with the digital revolution that, you know, record stores are challenged and a lot of them have gone away. And so the distribution of a physical CD or album is different these days than it was. And I was trying to think outside of the box and do something a little different than just, you know, having it an exclusive, which is a great place. But I was just trying to push people. And also, I'm a big supporter of local entrepreneurs. And so I thought of him and I went down and talked to him. I work a couple blocks away.
So that was tough.
To go over there and buy some coffee.
I could see that.
And so we sat down and I said, hey, would you want to sell this at the stores? And he said, sure.
The actual official release party
is August 4th, Friday, August 4th at Anodyne. And the Fainting Room will be opening for us.
The Fainting Room is not part of the facility. It's the band.
Yeah, it's another band.
It's not the room.
Yeah, it's not an actual room. But they're real good, and we're looking forward to working with them.
Well, and that's one of the things that is interesting, too, because you guys have been doing this a while, and now you are in the position of helping up-and-coming bands, where you were once in that position, you know, of touring with, you know, supporting other people. How does it feel to be on the other side of that?
Feels good. I mean, I'm always trying to help, you know, anybody who I like, and I want to help promote their band or their name.
I live in Minneapolis and perform under my own name, so I'm still one of the little people up here.
You're still, like, in support of.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do my own shows, but the Wooldridge Brothers definitely have a bigger footprint. I don't know if that's the greatest term to use, but people know us in Milwaukee. And in Minneapolis, there's so many bands and so many acts. It's hard to make a lot of headway, but there's a great scene here, and I enjoy working here. It's a little different situation.
You guys planning to tour this album?
Well, we were lucky enough to go on tour last summer with the Baseball Project, and then before that, we were lucky enough to be invited to play at First Avenue in Minneapolis, and we did part of it's called the Big Star 3 show, which had a lot of people in it from REM and
Big Star's third.
Third, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's like a sold-out show. And so that helped us a lot out in Minneapolis.
So I know you've got day jobs, and so it's hard to...
Yeah.
day jobs and families and, you know,
we do hope to promote it. We won't probably be touring this year, but maybe next summer.
And maybe Summerfest again.
I hope, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great. Because I'd love to hear this stuff live.
Well, if you're around on the 4th, come on down.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking time to talk with me today. Best of luck with the album. And Matt, best of luck with the business.
Thank you.
More live music is all I can say. More the better.
Sounds great.
Sounds great to me. Thanks.
Scott Wooldridge joined us by phone from his home in Minneapolis. Brian Wooldridge and Anodyne Coffee owner Matt McClutchy were in the studio.
The Wooldridge Brothers' new album, Starts at Dusk, will have its CD release party at the Anodyne in Walker's Point on Friday, August 4th. There is more information at WUWM.com.